Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with former Congressman for District 1 in the state of Florida, Mike Hill. Mike, before the top of the hour news, our caller talked about some of the things that listeners, that is Christians and conservatives, could do in standing up for our constitutional rights, and especially the Bill of Rights we have today. And some of those things that he enumerated were very, very well on target. But we need to, I believe, address that issue, and that is under the Equality Act, House Bill 5, that's just been passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. And the background of that, it was passed March of 2019 by 240 votes and languished in the Senate with 47 votes and never was passed. Had it been passed, President Trump would have vetoed it. But now it's on the fast track. It was passed by the votes of all of the leftists, the Democrats, and 3 U.S. House of Representatives Republicans, and it's now in the House, or now in the Senate. But in that bill, it basically would foreclose the First Amendment right, our religious liberties and freedom of speech. And in that bill, it will make any offender, anyone that traverses that law, if it is and once it is signed into law, and if it passes in the Senate, Joe Biden's already said that he would sign it. That being the case, what do we do as citizens? Speak to the issue of that House Bill 5, what it is, what it is not, what it does, and whether or not you view it as being dangerous to our liberties, especially the First Amendment.
What that Equality Act attempts to do, which, by the way, Senator Drew Gruters introduced, Florida Senator Drew Gruters introduced that act in Florida back in 2019, and thank goodness it didn't go anywhere. So we have members in the Republican Party who want to go along with this act. And what it does is it tries to place homosexual behavior, homosexual activity, on the same level as what we find in the Civil Rights Act, that you can't discriminate on someone, against someone, based on their race, sex, creed, national origin, religion, those immutable traits that you have no control over. You have no control of your race, your sex, your color. You have no control over where you were born. So rightfully so, the Civil Rights Act says that you cannot discriminate against someone based on that from a government level. What they're trying to do is add to that sexual orientation. So someone who has gender dysphoria or someone who wants to be behave in homosexual activity, now all of a sudden they're placed at the same level and same status as someone who can't change your race, can't change your sex, can't change your color. You can't do that. And so even those who say, well, I was born as a homosexual, I can't help it. No one is forcing you to participate in your sexual behavior. You have a choice to do that or not.
Right.
You have
right.
no choice in changing your skin color or your race or even your sex. Even though we have those lunatics on the left right now who thinks that a child should be able to choose their sex and start receiving some sort of hormone therapy and even mutilate their own bodies to, in a vain attempt to try and change. So what we should do as Christians, as Americans who love this nation, is to push back against this horrific Equality Act that they're trying to force down our throats right now. It passed the House. It's already behind us. I don't know who in Florida supported it, Republicans, I don't know. And now it's going to the Senate. And with our Senate, for some reason, I just don't hold a lot of confidence in all Republican senators standing up to this. I just don't. And
that
even if they
fear.
Do, and it's 50-50, then the fraud Kamala Harris could come in and break the tie. But I just don't put a lot of confidence in all Republicans standing lockstep, even though Democrats do it every single time. They never break ranks, except for just recently, Senator Joe Manchin said he was going to break ranks and not certify this one crazy woman who wants to be a secretary in one of Biden's administrations. But that is very rare. So I'm concerned. I don't know how Senator Scott or Senator Rubio are going to do on this, because they tend to go more based on what do the latest polls tell them what to do instead of what do your firm convictions and principles tell you to do.
Yes, absolutely. And let me remind our listening audience today that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're concerned about House Bill 5, the Equality Act, and it's now in the Senate, if you're concerned about that, if you have questions about that, if you have insight that you'd like to discuss on that, 831-0917 is your telephone number. Love to hear from you today, because this is vital that we understand the dangers of that. And let me at this point also insert this recommendation and directive, if you please. Get on the telephone and call every senator. Get on your computer and email every senator, not just the one in your district, but every senator, putting every senator on notice. This is not the will of the people. This is not the consent of the people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that a little later in this broadcast today. What does it mean, the consent of the people? Does it mean just the majority rule? What does it mean, consent of the people? Let our senators know that we do not consent as the citizens in America. We're not consenting to the passage of this ungodly, unholy bill. It is one that's unholy. It's unconstitutional. It is ungodly. And I believe it is an illegal act that we need to say no to. Congressman, I'm going to take a moment for our listening audience. And I'm looking at an article from Matt Staver. Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel talks about, says, U.S. House passing the House Bill 5 intentionally misnamed as the Equality Act. And it goes on to talk about what the Equality Act does. Biological men will have access to women's sports, bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, dressing rooms, and homeless shelters. Pastors could be forced to officiate same-sex ceremonies, and churches would have to offer use of their buildings to the LGBTQ agenda crowd. Churches and religious organizations would be forced to host same-sex ceremonies, and even baby showers or lose tax-exempt status for noncompliance and possible lawsuits. Churches and religious schools would be forced to hire staff involved in the LGBTQ conduct, even to visible positions of authority, and give them complete access to all children's rooms, children's bathrooms, dressing rooms, and classrooms. Churches and religious colleges will lose tax exemption and accreditation if they do not bow to this radical agenda. If taking overnight trips with children, including sports and mission trips, schools or churches and church leaders will not be able to separate people sleeping together, sleeping in the same room, based on biological gender. Religious schools will be forced to hire teachers and staff involved in LGBTQ agenda. Staff will be forced to use biological false pronouns and assign biological males to girls' dorms. From kindergarten, children will be taught that they can choose their gender and will be encouraged to experiment with each other. This article states then, and the Holy Bible's content addressing human sexuality will become a target under this new law. Ladies and gentlemen, it's horrific. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, this is Derby. I have 2 points. The first one is about CPAC yesterday, and the next one is directed to Mike Hill concerning the certification of votes, of the electoral votes.
All right, go ahead. CPAC.
A lot of things were said, good things were said at CPAC, but not one word was said either by Governor Noem or DeSantis or anybody else, or even Trump. And it is that we have to continue to fight to expose and correct the November 2020 election fraud. If we do not do that, we're condoning fraud. And that just cannot be, period. I'll take your comments, and then I'll talk about Mike Hill.
Now, Derby, let me mention this, and then Congressman Hill can respond also. President Trump did say very dogmatically, very emphatically, that the Supreme Court did not take the stand that they should have, that the Supreme Court was weak, and I'm using the word feckless, in their rejection of taking the cases that they had an opportunity to correct it. Now, what I think was taking place, they did, CPAC did not want to be accused of still touting a coup or some fraud in the election to be, then be either turned off as far as the platform and the transmission of it. Already on Twitter, everything about CPAC, every speaker, every time you pull up CPAC, there's a broad warning on it that this could be dangerous, this is not truth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Congressman, how do you respond to Derby's statement?
Well, as you said, Dr. Youngblood, I didn't listen to the other governors' speeches, but I did listen to President Trump's speech, and he did say that there was fraud that was involved and that the Supreme Court acted in a cowardly manner when they did not take up those cases.
Okay, he said there was fraud. I agree, but not that we need to continue the fight to expose it and to correct it. The words to correct the fraud. We cannot accept
fraud. The fight is continuing. There are some cases from Wisconsin.
Now, let me address my question to Mike Hill. The last time you were on, that I heard you on Facing the Issues, you mentioned that former VP Mike Pence was a Christian person, that he could not reject the electoral count, that he was a Christian and all that, and I disagree with that. He took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, and you do not do that by handing over the government to a bunch of communists. He is not required to certify a lie. So it wasn't his authority to reject it or not, but he cannot accept lies. So he is not obeying his oath of office. I'll take a comment from Mike Hill.
I understand what you're saying completely. Back to your previous issue, I just want you to be aware and your other listeners, Dr. Youngblood, that there are still cases before the Supreme Court concerning this election from the state of Wisconsin. And I understand perhaps from Arizona. So there are other cases pending. Do I have a lot of confidence the Supreme Court will do something with it? No. They've already demonstrated their cowardly behavior. Now, back to Vice President Pence. What I was saying there was, is I don't believe that Vice President Pence intentionally did something that he thought violated the Constitution and his authority. I think he was basing his decision on what legal counsel told him he could do, and convinced him what was available to him. And I think that is what he acted on. Now, that counsel could have been completely wrong, and I would agree with that. But I believe he went with that counsel. And if there is one thing I believe I know about Mike Pence, is that he is not someone who will stand strong and firm just based on his own convictions. He displayed that when he was governor of Indiana, and they passed a law to prevent the LGBTQ community from invading their schools and public venues. And he got so much pushback from the LGBTQ community that he flipped and went back the other direction. So that showed me right there that he's not one very strong on his own personal convictions.
Well, still, in my opinion, Mike Pence is a traitor like 90% of Republicans in Washington. And if Mike Pence knew that there was fraud, he should have not listened to any legal advice from anybody. Fraud is fraud. Don't accept it. Period.
I agree with that. Thank you so much for your input on that today, Derby, and God bless you. Congressman, as we think along that line, there's so many today that have serious Christian-held beliefs, and that's wonderful. But so often there's the intimidation factor that because they want to remain in position or because they want to be reelected, they will literally, how would you say, compromise that belief, biblically held beliefs. They will compromise their spiritual convictions in order to continue to stay in office or to continue to be reelected. And I must tell you, and I want our listeners to understand it, that's one of the things that I commend today, ladies and gentlemen, our guest on. Mike Hill is a Christian gentleman, a Republican conservative that took a stand on issues, and because of that was basically demeaned and dissed and sidetracked by our own party in Tallahassee. And so I commend him for taking his stand and allowing conviction and the Bible and our Constitution to be his guide and what he did in his stand in this position while in office. Congressman, while we're talking about that and continuing on the thought of this LGBTQ agenda called the Equality Act, looking at an article that says, the Equality Act is the first time in history that legislation would deny protection found in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. The letter concludes, the Equality Act has the potential to bring the United States' centuries-long history of respecting and providing robust protection for our liberties, religious freedoms, and beliefs, and liberties to an abrupt and ignominious end. And he goes on to talk about that end with it. I've got several dozen articles relating to that. And this one of the articles says, the House goes ahead and steamrolls religious liberties and passes the LGBTQ bill. Another headline says, the Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom in our entire lifetime. We must stand against it. And it goes on to talk about how, as Christians and as conservatives, we must stand against it and not just roll over and play dead. It is very, very serious. But there's another thing, if we can transition to another issue that is on the horizon. Congressman, there's House Bill, or H.R. 1. It's the new law that they're trying to get passed in the U.S. House that relates to voting. And it will federalize all voting across America. Are you familiar with that? And how do you stand on it? What do you think we need to know about it?
Yes, what that bill is trying to do is to dictate to the states how their elections are to be held, that they must accept absentee ballots, that they must accept other things which would make it ripe for fraud during our election time, during when you go to vote. And there are things that they put in place that they use to cheat and steal the election away from Donald Trump. This past November, they want to put it in law so that they can do it throughout the U.S. and thereby guarantee themselves victories by their methods of cheating. It has to be resisted at all levels. Here's the thing, Dr. Youngblood. These unconstitutional, illegal acts that this radical Democrat Congress is trying to pass and have passed some of them in the House already, they will have no effect if the people do not abide by it. If the people said, no, I'm just not going to do it. We need enough Christians, enough patriots to step up and say, I'm just not going to abide by it. I don't care what your law says. And what it might mean in some cases is that you could have your job taken away from you, your source of income. It could mean that you're ostracized in your community. It could mean that you're going to lose your seat, your election. That's what happened to me, Dr. Youngblood, and I consider that a small thing, a very small thing, when you consider there are Christians around the world right now who are being killed because they refuse to deny Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They refuse to deny what they stand for. So if you are someone who says, I'm a Christian, I refuse to do this, and are willing to die for it, then those bills will go nowhere. Otherwise, you're going to have to stand before the Lord one day, who said that the fearful will not enter into the kingdom. And if you're not going to do something because you're afraid that you're going to lose your job or lose your seat in Congress, whatever, you're going to have to account to the living God because of that.
Absolutely. And when it goes back to the teeth of that House Bill 1, the Voting Act, it requires each state to make available online voter registration. It prohibits any state from requiring application to provide or to prove who they are. It requires chief state elected officials to automatically register every voter by electronic mail, email. It requires states to permit voters to register on the day of election, and it includes early election, and it gives up to 45 days for the election process. Congressman, it will destroy our election process as though we've not already destroyed it with the Dominion voting machines. But what you're saying is exactly right. I said when they started talking about a year ago of locking down churches, I said then if businesses would say we're not closing the doors, if churches were to all just stand and say we're not closing our doors, we would not be in the predicament we're in today with the government taking the power and authority. In fact, Franklin Graham says, he warns, and I'm looking at a headline, Franklin Graham warns of the government's control over the citizens' lives in America, end quote. And he talks about the horrific danger facing us with the government taking control of our lives. And it goes back to the fact that there ought to be civil disobedience, and Christians need to understand that that is a provision that I believe we ought to stand on as Christians, is that of civil disobedience. I'm not talking about going out here and tearing something down. I'm not talking about going out here with weapons in hand, but civil disobedience simply saying, we're not going to bow, we're not going to bend. And it's the three Hebrew boys in the third chapter of Daniel, as a result of refusing to bow and refusing to bend, they didn't burn when they were thrown in that fiery furnace. And we need to understand that God calls on us as Christians to do that today. Congressman, we've got several minutes left of the broadcast, but I want to switch over to a subject that I believe ties the loose ends up on some of the things we're talking about. And it's, let me just read this, and then we'll talk about a portion of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. What does it mean, the consent of the governed?
You just read from our Declaration of Independence, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Or maybe you did it from memory, as I'm able to also. But what that means by the consent of the governed, that means us, we the people. We turn over, we loan the power that we have, the God-given power that we have, to our elected officials. We loan it to them. And they are supposed to operate in accordance with the rule of law, the laws of nature, and nature's God. And when they do not, they no longer have our consent. And we are to take that consent from them and remove them from office. And instead put someone in office who is there to protect our unalienable, that means God-given rights, of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we're in a situation right now where we have too many in elected office who are operating outside the consent of we the people. And we, the people, must rise up. And as you say, Dr. Youngblood, it doesn't mean violence in the streets and burning and tearing down things like the left does. It simply means that, one, we are not going to abide by your unlawful rules. And number two, we are taking you out of office.
Absolutely. Congressman, I've got an article dealing with that. It talks about Nancy Pelosi's mandate, and then it asks the question, what consent of the governed really means? And in the article, it's about a five-page article. I'm going to read about three brief paragraphs on this. It says, the vulgar version of democratic theory generally used by the Washington politicians and U.S. news media stipulates that whichever party or coalition of parties receive a majority of the votes has the consent of the governed. Yet, the governed does not include merely those who voted in the election. It's problematic enough that 51% who vote for the victors get the rule over the 49% who voted for someone else. But in this scenario, we're only talking about people who actually voted. After all, it's not just active voters who are subject to the laws and the dictates of the regime. So how many of the governed have actually voted for Joe Biden? At the same time, about 22% of the whole population voted for Donald Trump. That means 53% of the governed either voted for someone else other than Trump or Biden or didn't vote at all. It also means that 75% of the population did not vote for Joe Biden. Therefore, there's not a consent of the people. We've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Would you tie those loose ends for us so that our listeners will understand the quagmire that we're in and what we need to do as Christians today?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. You know, you said the consent of the governed. I like that part where it says it's all of the governed, not just those who took the time to vote,
yes,
but it's everyone, all of us, we the people. We loan that power to them. And when we find that we have essentially a minority of the population who said that Biden won the election, by the way, he did not.
That's right.
I've seen numbers where he got maybe 63 million votes to President Trump's close to 80 million votes.
That's right.
It was a stolen election. He does.
Right.
They do not have the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed is as long as you are within the rule of law. That is what makes us a republic.
Yes. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us today. And I believe that I could add a kind of a footnote to that. The Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual warfare. It says putting on the whole armor of God and having done all to stand. That literally means we dig in the heels. We don't bow. We don't bend. We don't run. We keep on standing. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air. Looking forward to meeting you next time as once again, we face the issues.
91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.